And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I am Benjamin Orr.
I'm Lou Olson.
I'm Colin Bennett.
Oh, there we go.
And as a disclaimer for this podcast, there's some really bad storms ripping through Wisconsin right now, which keep actually disconnecting Colin. It happened to Lou once, but that's just a disclaimer. So if it gets to a point where it's just myself, since I don't live in Wisconsin, I'll try to provide some stand-up comedy.
Good luck with that.
Oh, I know. Colin is actually currently disconnected right now. So we're
Well, let's go.
So we were going to start off with the story that Colin brought up was about the brewers really in ownership. You know, Mark Attanasio, Doug Melvin, guys like that. Colin's back. Should the brewers really try and refocus their management, you know, with Attanasio and Melvin? Should they try and make a different approach to the things? And this is what an article that Colin was really, you know, telling us about. So, Colin, do you want to take over about that?
Yeah, actually, it was a discussion I had with a couple other fantastic brewer writers, Nate Petrushek, I hope I'm saying that right, and Ryan Topp. We were talking about it, and really, what it comes down to is Mark Attanasio and Doug Melvin confusing the win now attitude with perennial contender? And they are two very different things. But you look at the types of moves that we're making over the last couple, I don't know, four, five, six seasons even. And it seems like we're not building an organization so much as we're picking out high profile pieces and then just throwing them back into the system and hoping we win in those 2 years and get enough money to get another big piece.
I mean, I certainly think that there is some truth in that. I don't want to say logic, but in that thought process, there's certainly a lot of sense being made. But I guess the thing about it that I really, it's such a loaded question. How do you truly define what a mindset is of a management? Part of me wants to say that it's almost like they're trying to rebuild while they're trying to compete. And that just doesn't work. That's not something that has ever worked and will ever work. And so you have pieces of the team that are a team that's a contender, and then you have pieces that are unproven and young. And so I don't know. I feel like it's a weird thing. I feel like we're blaspheming by even talking about it.
Yeah,
it is a difficult question. Yeah.
Yeah, because you look at a year like 2008 when the Brewers made that push for the playoffs, and they went out and traded for CC Sabathia. And we knew he was going to be a rental player. There's no way we were going to be able to afford him. But you look at the Brewers in that particular year, you know, they still had Prince Fielder. they had a bullpen that wasn't bad. I mean, Manny Parr and Tim Doan weren't bad at that point. They had Ben Sheets. They had, you know, Dave Bush and Jeff Suppan, which weren't the greatest of additions, but hey, I mean...
You said Dave Bush and Jeff Suppan.
I mean... They worked.
You said that. Good.
But, you know, there was a fine line between, you know, like Lou brought up, between actually competing and rebuilding. And it seems like with what the Brewers have done in the past year or so, I mean, obviously you trade Zach Greinke for Gene Segura, and he turns out to be great. But you still have a problem at first base with Corey Hart not there. You have a problem with the rotation that clearly can't get anything done right now. So, I mean, I think at some point the Brewers are going to have to pick a side. They can't do both. And whether it means there'll be sellers at the trade deadline, I have no idea at this point. But you'd have to imagine at some point that's
who'll
going to
sell.
Exactly. I mean, it's really hard to say who to sell. But, I mean, if the Brewers want to try to improve on what they have, it's either you trade away some of the people that you might want to get rid of, or you just bring up the people that you already want to, because what you have now clearly isn't working.
Right, and what I think is going on right now is we have a couple, I don't know, maybe cognitive dissonance is the best way to put it. Fans, there are a lot of fans that are expecting us to win a lot of games, as we see them fall to teams like the Twins and, you know, the Cubs and what have you. People are expecting this team to win all, yet realistically, how high were the expectations coming into this season? I mean, they weren't that high at all. You know, our sessions, we all rated them pretty much third place across the board, maybe competing for a wild card spot. And they had that great April, and, you know, it kind of pushes itself along momentum-wise. And we got Kyle Loesch in the beginning of the season, and half the Brewers fans went crazy because it was such a good signing, and the other half went crazy because they thought it was a sure sign of the apocalypse. And so you have that kind of going on with the fans, where the fans don't really know what to think of this team. And I think that is a clear reflection of the direction of management, where, you know...
Are we losing? I feel like we're losing.
Continues to say, we want to win this year every year. Well, that's all well and good, but what are you doing?
Colin, I only heard about 80% of what you said, but I agreed with about 75% of that 80%, and really that's what's important. here's a really great analogy as to where this team is right now. The other day, Figueroa had a spot start, and he threw for 5 innings. And every morning I take my dog, Walter, over to my mom and dad's. And when I walked in, my mom said, "Hey, that Figueroa, he threw 5 innings last night. That's pretty good." And she was not wrong. So what does that tell you about what the team is trying to do?
It's sad because you look at this pitching rotation in particular that, if they get to the seventh inning, you just go, "Oh my god!" You know, it's just like, how does this happen? You know, even trading into the sixth inning, it's just like, you know, uncharted territory for this team. And you know, for Figueroa to come out from, you know, the bullpen and start and pitch 5 innings, you're like, okay, that sounds like it should be okay. But in the minds of Brewers fans, it's like, wow, he made 5 innings. That's pretty good. We didn't have to pull him for, you know, somebody else. So, and even the fact that, you know, we had to resort to Figueroa starting, it really isn't the fault of management. I mean, the fact that Narvison's out really doesn't help, and the fact that they had to play with injuries.
Oh, yeah, no. Figueroa, that really has... I mean, everything aside from him having the spot start, that makes sense. I'm cool with that. But, I'm sorry. Okay, continue. I just wanted to make sure I was clear. I don't think that Figueroa starting has anything to do with management. That was just a necessary evil. It was all the other things that encapsulated that story.
No, I got you.
To be fair, it was one of the reasons we picked Figueroa up also.
Yeah. I like Figueroa. I think that he's a good pitcher. Clearly he's versatile, and Mike Fiers is also versatile. So there, I feel like I say this every week, there are good things happening, but they're good things if you're a rebuilding team. They're not good things if you are a team trying to win now or be a pennant contender. That's really what it boils down to, is you have a very clear sect of both.
Well, maybe we should be more honest with ourselves and start calling this a rebuilding franchise.
Clearly they are. All you have to do is watch 9 innings to see that they are a team that is in major flux.
And I really hesitate.
You guys have to stop interrupting each other.
Colin, you go ahead.
Oh, he wasn't interrupting you on purpose, right. It turns out.
What I'm saying is...
I'm done talking.
Is everybody good?
I didn't say a word.
Yep, I'm done.
All right, and what we need... is a clear sense from management about what the direction of our team is. Whether it's from Doug Melvin or whether it's from Mark Atanasio, it's fine for Atanasio to say, "Oh, I don't really like what I'm seeing on the field right now." Well, the money, you help us fix it. You know, there are a lot of mixed signals coming from the front office right now that make it difficult as a fan.
I only thought about, like, what Lou said earlier, about 80% of that, but, maybe 75%, but
Colin, I know you're a smart guy, so I'm sure that everything you said was awesome, but again, I think I also only caught about 80% of what you were saying, but yeah, I'm sure that it was genius. I'm just going to assume that it was and move on.
But yeah, I mean, first off, I wanted to say I kind of hesitate in calling Mike Fiers versatile, because clearly he can't start. He can pitch long relief. He just can't really start.
I don't think that's true. Last year, he did an exceptional job. There's no reason to think that he can't get back to that point. I think that Mike Fiers is very versatile.
But you look at Fiers, he's a tale of two cities, really. I mean, he's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from last year. He does really well, and then he goes, you know, for that he pitched six perfect innings against the Reds, and then after that game, literally forgot how to pitch. I mean, he couldn't do anything.
He's a young man, Ben. He's a young man. Just trying to find his way.
But, no, to expand on Colin's point, though, I mean, yeah, obviously there's a fine line between what the team can be and what the team currently is. And it's all fine and good with what, you know, the Brewers want to do. But, you know, obviously when they decided that they wanted a veteran presence in their rotation, you know, they obviously at that point decided, you know, this is a team that we believe can compete. We're going to give that two spot to Marco Estrada. We're going to put Willie Peralta in this rotation, and we want a veteran. So they were figuring at least four out of five other starts, they're going to get decent starts, which unfortunately has not happened. I mean, Marco Estrada will have a good game here and there. Gallardo has just been flat out awful. And the rest of the rotation is just really up in question right now. So it's just, if the Brewers want to make a move, they can. It's just like they're really hem-hawing around the problem.
If the management... Oh, I'm sorry. Go, Colin.
Okay, no, it's all right. I think Marco Estrada is a good pitcher. I think we're just expecting more out of him than what we can reasonably get. I mean, he gave us a really good start yesterday, minus that first inning.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like the talk that we had earlier in the season about, is Yovani Gallardo an ace? Yovani Gallardo's not a real ace, whatever, whatever. Yeah, okay, fine. He's not a real ace, but he's our number one starter. We're not the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're not the Texas Rangers. We're not, you know, we're a small market team. These are the things we have to work with. We have to find appropriate roles for these people. They're not bad players. We don't have a lot of bad players on our team.
Right.
We just need the appropriate roles for them.
If management really... I think they're confused. If they really want to set a course one way or the other, it's going to happen before the All-Star break. If I am management and I am watching the team that is currently on the field through my warped, usually intoxicated brain, I would think about very hard about trading all of the veteran pieces that could contribute to contending teams, and I would consider this team a rebuild project. I would try to find a taker for Unieski Betancourt for just some minor league scraps. I would look to trade Ricky Weeks if there's even such a market that exists for a person like that. I would look to trade Aramis Ramirez, even though he is a good player. If the team is going to rebuild, he is unnecessary. And he's just taking up a spot where we can watch a 20-year-old boot ground balls for 2 years. I mean, there are pieces that can go away.
That's how we got Ryan Braun.
There's no reason to trade Ryan Braun. His contract is too good.
No. Of course not.
Yeah. His contract is too good. He's such a bargain. There's absolutely no way you trade him, no matter what the return is. You just leave him alone. You know, but you could certainly trade Aoki. I would not be a fan of that, but it could certainly happen. You know, we have a lot of depth at catcher, it seems like. You know, you could always see if there's a market for a guy like Martin Maldonado. You don't know what's out there, but if they want to make a firm decision and let us know what their mentality is, it'll happen at the All-Star break, because if they do nothing, then we know.
Yeah.
And what we know is that they have no effing idea. Ah, I cleaned it up, man.
There you go.
I think the outfield's more sound than the infield is. I just don't see Aoki, Braun, or Gomez going anywhere. And even Logan Schaefer, I really don't see going anywhere.
He had a good night tonight.
Yeah, he did. Had that triple.
Yeah.
That scored three runs. But infield-wise, like you said, if there's such a thing as a market for Ricky Weeks, maybe on the planet Mars, I have no idea, then yeah, obviously, I would say you have to part ways with Ricky Weeks. I think Ramos Ramirez might be the big one. Because you have to factor in at this point, Corey Hurt's going to be back in this lineup. Gene Segura has just been on fire, and I think the Brewers are going to lock him down sooner than later. So then you have at least two decent infielders that can hit, and then you just throw Jeff Bianchi at second or third, and, you know, you put... I don't know, maybe you bring up somebody. I have no idea at this point, but...
If we're being truly honest with ourselves, we're not going to be happy with the returns for Ramirez or Hart to begin with.
I don't think Hart should be traded, though.
It's more than anything at this point.
But, Colin, would you rather keep Ramirez and pay him the $13 million he's due next season, or would you rather just get what you can, unload him, and only have to pay some of that money, and try to kind of build from scratch again? I mean, what's the difference? We're 14 games under 500. At this point, I don't see the difference between scrapping it and retaining a $13 million contract.
Well, that, and plus you can use some of that money to try and re-sign Hart, too.
Well, true, but if we get nothing for Ramirez, we've wasted that deal anyways. You know what I mean?
Right.
If we try to rebuild and we don't get anywhere with it, if there's not a market for him...
Right. Well, and that's what
it all comes down to. Which I doubt the market is as high as we would imagine he is.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it would boil down to, though, I guess, too, is the market. If there's a market for those guys, I mean, what's the point, really?
I mean, there's always a market for a 100 RBI guy, but nobody's getting a base in front of Ramirez anyway, so it's kind of a moot point.
But I mean, we're on pace to go, you know, to lose 90 games. It's kind of like, I don't know. At a certain point, I would almost rather just see a fire sale than watch them try to put on this facade like they're a playoff contender when very clearly they are not.
You look at the top five of that order, and that's a playoff contending order right there. If we had a five-man line. No, that only played five innings, we would probably win every game.
Yeah, I mean, you have to factor in the fact that the Brewers' problem isn't the offense at all. It's just pitching has been so inconsistent, and you have to realize that, you know, the Brewers are so versatile with their lineup that you can mix and match anybody in that lineup, and they're still going to produce runs at a very high rate. So... You know, what Lou was saying earlier about, you know, possibly a market for Martin Maldonado, I think he might be the best shot if the Brewers want to trade anybody at all. I mean, he's young. He can hit. He's a good catcher behind the plate. I mean, he has some value that I don't think a lot of people know about.
Well, what I would say is if you want to see a real solution come forward this year, and you want to see our pitching get some help, because our pitching is inconsistent, yes. Is our pitching terrible? I would not go that far. But we are, you know, we have no problem putting in runs in the first four innings. But those last five, we have some issues. And, you know, how many times have we seen it where, you know, when the top of the order or the meat of the order is up, we're scoring runs, and then for the rest of the way, we're not doing anything. And it's one thing to want to give guys like Segura and Aoki more at-bats, but it's quite another to put a more difficult batter somewhere else in the lineup to see if you can spark a fire throughout the game as opposed to the first three innings.
Can we go back to 2011? Is that cool? Can we just go back there? Does anyone have a time machine?
Well, as long as we can change the ending.
You know what? Even if I knew the ending, I would rather go through that than what we're going through right now. This is the worst.
You'd rather lose the Cardinals again.
Yeah,
I would rather be depressed in October than depressed in May.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could not possibly agree more.
It's kind of sad that we know how Astros fans feel now.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact
that is kind of, I mean, it's not good. And you know what? I guess what really bothers me, I'm trying to keep my composure because I get too worked up about this. My wife was right. I have a problem. I don't really know what the problem is. I mean, I do, but, like, the pitching should not be as bad as it is. It can't be this bad all year, right? Like,
no.
in my brain, my process of thought is that with as talented as this team is, they can't really be this bad the entire season, right?
No.
But then I think about it, and if it wasn't for that 9-game winning streak, I mean, they would have only won like 12 other games.
I mean,
that's a true story.
You have to figure Gallardo is not going to be this bad all season. He's just not. And Estrada,
no, he usually does. He usually has a rough month or like one rough month to start, and then he's off to the races.
And then Estrada, you know he can do well. I mean, he's one game he's going to give you 7 innings of 1-run ball. The next game he might give up 5 runs in 6 innings. But you know Estrada can get the job done. It's just, can the rest of the rotation keep pace? Personally, I think Willie Peralta needs out of this rotation. I don't see him really rebounding from anything. He just goes out there and he looks lost on the mound.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that happens. The way I think of it is, you know, I think it was Tommy Lasorda said, even the best, you know, the best ball club will lose a third of its games, and the worst ball club is going to win a third of its games, and it's what you do with the other third. I think that the Brewers are just getting their first third of losing out of the way early. That's what I think.
I hope so, Colin. Colin, I want to believe you.
We can only hope, really.
I want to believe you so badly. Yeah, I believe in your optimism.
The thing that I think is that obviously we all know baseball is a game of averages. You know, it's not played one game at a time. It's played over a long 162 game stretch. Do I think the Brewers are as good as their 9-game winning streak? No. Do I think they're as bad as this current skid? No. I think when all is said and done, we're probably going to be disappointed in the results, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as what we're currently working.
I'm not a fortune teller, but I'm pretty sure disappointment is in our future.
Well, you also have to realize all the people that are on the disabled list for this team. You have Hiram Burgers, who's on the DL.
Yeah.
You have Taylor Green, who had to go to the 60-day DL. You have Corey Hurt, who's going to be back. You have Henderson, who just went to the DL. You have Narvison, who's going to be back soon. So I mean,
Ricky be on the DL?
Yeah, the one guy I need on the DL.
I mean, there's a lot of problems that the Brewers have had. I mean, and clearly injuries do play a big part into that. But a guy like Hiram Burgos, for example, who did really well and then gave up 10 runs against the Reds, just fell apart. I mean, after that, he rebounded well against Pittsburgh and then just cannot get it going against the Dodgers. But you have to wonder what the future is for a guy like that. Is he going to turn out to be the next Willie Peralta? Is he going to be better than Willie Peralta? Is Willie Peralta going to be better than Willie Peralta?
I think Willie Peralta can be better than Willie Peralta, but what Willie Peralta has to understand is that Willie Peralta is Willie Peralta's own man. So if we say Willie Peralta enough times, I will lose my complete train of thought.
Lou, that was beautiful.
Yeah, it got rough there at the end. I couldn't even keep up with all the Willie Peraltas I had created.
I shed a tear. It's so beautiful. But yeah, I mean, you have to figure this team is not that bad of a team. They're not a team that's going to finish the season, hopefully, below 500. Because, you know, the thing fans like to do is they like to point fingers at management and say, you know, well, obviously, Ron Reneke needs fired. He can't do his job. Rick Kranz can't do his job as a pitching coach. But you have to look at the pitching scenario from last year and this year. Last year was a little bit different because we had Greinke, we had Markham, we had Gallardo who was doing well, we had Estrada who was doing well, and we had Fires who was doing well, but our bullpen was awful. This year it's kind of the reverse. The bullpen's doing well, knock on wood, for right now, and the rotation can just not get it going. When Kyle Loesch is leading your team's ERA at 4.37, you're having some serious problems there. But I don't think that's a direct result of what Rick Kranz or what Ron Reneke are telling these guys in the clubhouse. I think it's just these guys are in a funk. But you have to wonder how long is this funk going to last. It's been there really since the beginning of the season. And like,
well, yeah.
You know, and like Lou said, if they didn't get on that 9-game winning streak, they'd be in a lot more hurt right now than they already are.
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, we want to blame management and we want to blame coaches because, well, it's way easier to fire them than fire all the players. But, you know, we've had a lot of bad luck. We've run up against some teams that have been doing really well. We're in a division that's getting competitive faster than I think Brewers management thought it was going to be. And you have all those things kind of put together, and it makes for a pretty bad year.
Two points I'd like to make. One, have you guys happened to notice what Cole Hamels' record looks like?
Yeah, I kind of have him in fantasy.
Cole Hamels is 1-8 with a 4.4 ERA. So Kyle Loesch is killing it. The second thing I wanted to point out, and I lost my train of thought again.
Willie Peralta.
No, it wasn't Willie Peralta. I already did that joke. No, and this wasn't even a joke. Crap. It has something to do with what Colin said. I lost it. It's the thunderstorm and the another sweep. I'll probably have to do some deep thoughts later.
Yeah, they don't.
But it's just... this team is not that bad. As evident, really, from the All-Star game on last year, from mid-July till the end of September, or really the beginning of October, they were the best team in baseball. They just won. They cannot be stopped. And you know this team has this potential to do that. It's not that different of a team from last year. The potential is there. It's just, can they harness it and do it? And I would like to say yes, but, you know, none of us are fortune tellers. We have no idea what the future holds. You know, what if another guy gets injured? But you have to think at some point that the Brewers aren't going to just say, okay, we're done. We're not going to try. You think they're going to have to try because they've done it before, and they know they can do it again.
My dad has a saying, and he said it ever since I was a little kid, and it's good teams have the best luck, and bad teams have the worst luck. And, I mean, you just watch the games, and you watch the strikes that they take and the things that don't go their way, and you just kind of, I don't know, maybe it's because I was ingrained with that saying as a child, but part of me just goes, they're bad. If they were good, they'd have better luck.
Good teams seem to get better breaks from time to time. But, you know, some teams, you know, there are teams in this league that are better at taking advantage of good breaks than the Brewers are right now. And that's really what it comes down to a lot, is capitalizing on opportunities. I mean,
boy,
yeah,
we really
Marco Estrada... Marco Estrada gave up, was it 3 runs in the first inning yesterday?
Yeah,
and then he gave up 2 hits and 1 run for the next 6 innings. There's a guy going out and doing work for you, and the Brewers can only manage, like, 4 fly balls and a bunch of ground outs to short after that, even though they got hit by 4 pitches.
Yeah, it's...
You know, so it's easy to find a scapegoat, like, oh, well, the pitching's bad, and that's going to fix it. But when the pitching is doing better, like when they give up the one big inning, which... fine, we can blame everything on the one big inning, but there are 9 innings in a game, and the offense has to do part of that, too. And they're not really sharing in that work.
Yeah, I mean, the offense doesn't have the exact numbers they had last year. You know, they were up in the top 10 in a lot of categories across the board. Now they're in top 15s, top 25s. You know, it's just...
we're definitely in the top 30 in every category. I know that.
That's good. That's fair. You know, you made me feel a lot better about those numbers, Colin.
Yeah, you know, just, wow.
It's all about perception, buddy. It's all about perception.
Yeah, it's a glass half full or glass half empty, you know.
There you go.
People are just going to think I'm the biggest apologist in the world.
Yeah, but they're also going to think that I'm the most bitter, crotchety 30-year-old they've ever heard in their lives. So it's a win-win situation for both of us, pal.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
I mean, you look up and down this lineup, and this is a lineup that can do some serious damage. But with not just Ricky Weeks struggling, but Jonathan Lucroy as well.
A lot of them.
But, I mean, obviously we kind of expected Yunesky Betancourt to just fall off the horse and forget where the horse was. You know, Gene Segura's been on fire.
Yunesky Betancourt doesn't know what a horse is.
That too.
Thank God, because it felt really weird to be rooting for him all the time. Man.
I'm still rooting for him. I want the magic back.
I am not. I would if he got good again, but I'm also not going to rag on him. Because, like I said before, and I stick to it, I am proud of how he came out in that first month. That was impressive, and it was fun to watch. So I'm giving him that, but the way he played this month is like, it's the old uni. It's the exact same thing. It's what I expected when they signed him again.
But, I mean, 5 out of 8 hitters in this lineup are going to do damage. And it's just... I mean, even the potential for them to do 6 if Jonathan Lucroy can really get up to par and, you know... You just have to wonder, where does it turn around and when does it stop? I mean, June, I'm not going to say is an easy month, but you have Miami for 3 games. You have the Cubs.
Thank you.
You have Houston. You have... I mean, you did play Philadelphia for 6 games in June, and Oakland, and Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, and Atlanta. So it's kind of a half-and-half month, but, man, it can't be any worse than May, right?
Don't say that. You don't know that.
You don't know that for sure.
You already admitted that you're not a fortune teller, Ben. I heard it, like, two or three riffs ago. I heard you say it, so...
Okay, well, I'm
You don't know that. It could be worse. There's no way to know. I don't think it will be, but maybe.
No, I don't think it ever. I don't think it'll get as bad as May was.
Technically now it's the worst. It'll be tied for the worst, no less than tied for the worst month they've ever had.
If we lose tomorrow, then definitely.
Well, if they lose, well, already by losing tonight, they've secured at least the tie. So if they lose tomorrow, then they are the champions.
See, tomorrow's such a hard matchup because we play Philadelphia, and it's Yovani Gallardo against Cole Hamels, both of who I have in fantasy.
Cole Hamels clearly can't win games, Ben. So well, I think we'll be fine.
But it's not Cole Hamels.
We should probably change Ben's fantasy name to just Comedy of Errors.
But it's not Cole Hamels, though. I mean, I'm looking at one start in particular. He went against the Pirates on the 23rd of April, went 8 innings, allowed 2 runs, and got the loss. His losses, he's been giving up, like, 2 or 3 runs, that's it. So Philly just isn't supporting him.
I'm sure... Please. He can cry about it all the way to his World Series ring, which he keeps in the security deposit box in the Bank of Philadelphia.
Well, I know I'm going to cry all the way to the security deposit bank with...
Cole Hamels can eat me. Boo-hoo, I'm 1-8. I won a World Series. Cry to me.
Hey, I'm not speaking for Cole Hamels here. I just want some wins.
You are speaking on his behalf. You should take that more seriously.
After getting creamed last week, 0-13, I think I want to win.
You went 0-13? This isn't about fantasy baseball. I'll make fun of you about that later.
Yeah.
But
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even have a fantasy team. I'm not playing this year.
You guys.
Oh, Colin, you have a team.
You too. All right, let's move on to a new topic. I'm all flustered about the management thing. I don't know why either. I wasn't before. Now I'm all butthurt about it.
Put it in your heads.
Yeah, you put it in my head, Colin. Let's talk about something else.
I have questions here.
We have questions, dude.
Oh, man.
I was thinking of this topic earlier, and, you know, and I'm not really sure exactly how... You know, this is going to happen. It can happen halfway, but not the entire way, and that is, can Gene Segura go 30 for 30? Can he join Ryan Braun?
Colin?
Can we deal Ryan Braun? Is that what the question was?
Oh, no.
No.
No, we've moved on from
no,
that.
The answer is no.
Well, good. Now,
well, yeah,
Colin is a fortune teller. He knew that we were going to talk about that later.
That is true.
I did. You were cutting out. Trying to get
through
a tornado here. So
I assumed that we were. Oh, is there actually a tornado?
No, not yet. But we're still under watch.
But soon.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that there is not. All joking aside.
I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to pass without incident. But it got pretty tough here.
Oh, but what I was saying, though, is can Gene Segura go 30 for 30? Will he join Ryan Braun in that accomplishment?
Oh, no, no, absolutely not.
No way.
It sounds like I'm knocking Gene Segura. I understand that, but no, he can go 20-30 maybe, but I don't think his wheelhouse is really power. I think extra base hits he can definitely knock in more than his fair share of those, but you know I think 20-30 is definitely approachable, but. You know, I don't think 30-30 is really in the cards for him, and I don't think we need that from him to begin with. Now, Carlos Gomez maybe can have a 30-30 year.
Oh, but, look at Colin.
But Gene Segura, I don't think it's in the cards.
Boy, Carlos Gomez sure could though. Yeah, I'm with you there, Colin. I'm on your wavelength on that one. I also don't think Gene Segura will go 30 for 30. However, I do think that in about 25 years, I'll be watching an ESPN 30 for 30 about the greatest shortstop who ever lived, Gene Segura. I think that'll happen.
So then technically he does get a 30 for 30.
Yeah, so he's going to go 30 for 30. Don't kid yourselves. No, I just don't think he'll hit enough home runs. I mean, that's really all it boils down to is he could do it in the future. I just don't think he'll do it this year. Carlos Gomez, though, Colin, that very, very, very well could happen.
Yeah. Especially if he keeps hitting 360-something.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you do have speed with both of them, so definitely the 130 part can happen with both of them easily. I mean, you have Gene Segura, who already has 14 stolen bases on the season.
I mean, we could, in theory, have three guys steal 30 bases. So not out of the realm of possibility.
And then Ricky Weeks,
which will be nice because nobody else can get to second base. So
that's true. Well, even if we get the runner to second base, they'll get to third with no outs, and they still won't score. So,
oh, you know what I saw yesterday? I was watching the Indians, and Jason Giambi literally tried to steal third base.
No, you're making that up.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I don't believe you.
Find me video. Send it to me. I want to watch it.
I will do that right now.
Oh, but, glorious.
But it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because I'm like, is Giambi... Oh my god, he's stealing, yeah. And
How would you have felt if you were the third base coach taking that sign? Like, you cannot possibly be serious with what you're saying.
A third base coach can shake off signs, right?
I don't know. I would like to think so,
but... Or was he the one that gave it to him? Why is he still at the job?
That guy should have been fired on the spot. They should have taken him off the field and put the bat boy coaching third base. You are fired.
Yeah, it was just the funniest thing I've seen.
You know what? I want slow motion video.
Yeah, I want to watch that. Yeah. Or I want to watch it in time lapse, because I feel like it's going to take a lot longer than we think.
Yeah, I just... Oh my god, I gotta find this now.
See, I don't think it happened, Ben. I think it did. All in your imagination.
No, it did. I'm posting this into Skype right now, and you can watch it.
In Ben's defense, we did see Aramis Ramirez try to steal more than his fair share of bases.
Yeah. That's like watching a tank run.
Oh, and there it is, Ben. All right, I'm going to watch it right now. I'm literally going to sit here and watch Jason Giambi steal third. You guys go about your business. I'm going to enjoy this for a second. You guys do your thing. I'm going to watch Jason Giambi steal third base. I can't even believe this is happening.
But also, to be fair, too, Aramis Ramirez only tries to steal second now. He knows his limitations.
He shouldn't be stealing anything except ladies' hearts. I don't want him stealing anything else.
And, you know, the eventual good play at third that robs somebody of a double or something.
Wait, are they playing the Pirates? Because then it's all good, but...
Yeah.
Because then he has a legitimate
shot. Ben, this is taking forever to load.
Well, it's Yahoo Canada, so I mean...
Oh, ew.
Nothing against Canada. I love Canada. Don't sue me. Can an entire country sue somebody?
Ben, I think we lost everybody when I did the Willie Peralta thing. Nobody's going to keep listening this far. This is really just for the three of us. Everybody left after my Willie Peralta nonsense. So I wouldn't really worry about it.
We're cutting out every 4 minutes. We have no
I'm about to watch a Jason Giambi video in the middle of the podcast. You know what? I'm going to let that load, though. We can chat while I wait for that to load.
What else is there to talk about that we haven't already beat a dead horse about? Like,
let's see. What is there? Let's talk about Colin's article coming up and how awful it was to fill out.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Well, yeah, no, that works because we generally do end the show with player and pitcher of the week. But since it is, you know, coming upon the last days of May here, you guys can go ahead and throw out player and pitcher and everything you want of the month, if such a thing exists.
Well, I mean, player of the month is easy. It's Gene Segura, the new man crush of my life. I mean,
can we give that guy a nickname, by the way?
No, I don't want him to have a nickname. It's way better without it.
Doesn't Renke call him Seggy?
Ew, I hate that. Don't like it. Does it.
It sounds baseball-y, but, like, weird.
Like Peggy.
Yeah.
I don't want to call him Peggy.
Gene, the dancing machine?
Billy Jean.
Oh, no, I don't like that. I don't really like that one either. I tell you what, though. You get Gene Segura on Dancing with the Stars, point set match, fellas. That cat is walking out of there. If you watch him leave the batter's box, my dad brought this up while we were drunk on Father's Day. It does look like he's dancing. Like, he's so fast out of the box that it's like he's doing a dance move. It's really kind of remarkable. But he would take the thing down, no problem.
Maybe he should use Billie Jean as his walk-up music to get pumped. I don't really know.
Oh, he's sweet. Yeah, I don't know either. All right, Ben, where did you get this from? Yahoo Canada?
Yeah, you just type it into Google, Jason Giambi attempts to steal a third.
It just will not open. I cannot get it to play. And I want to watch it so badly. All right. So Gene Segura, and I want to watch it while we're recording. So Gene Segura is the player of the week. Pitcher of the week? Pass?
No, I actually have one for pitcher of the week.
All right, then yours wins by default because I got nothing.
I'm going with Mike Gonzalez.
Really?
He's only pitched 3 innings in the last week, but he's only given up 1 hit, struck out 3, hasn't allowed a run. He's really been efficient because, I mean, you look at how he started off. It is really bad. And since then, he's really calmed down. He hasn't allowed an earned run since May 11th. So, he's done really well. And the fact that he's the only left-hander, or was the only left-hander at a point when Gorzolani and Norgeson are both in the DL. I mean, Gorzolani's back now. But, no, Mike Gonzalez really has done well.
Hold on. I've got it.
Oh, boy.
Oh God.
Oh! Actually, he almost beat it out. Can you guys hear it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wait, he almost beat it?
The Reds had the big shift on, and Frazier was about 30 feet from the bag, but...
It's terrible. It's the most horrific thing I've ever seen. I can't even believe that someone thought that was okay. Like, and he leaves on the pitch. It wasn't like the pitch was in the dirt. He leaves on the pitch. It was someone told him, dude, you can totally beat this out. You're only 50 years old and coming off of steroids. You can totally do this, dude. And Ryan, dude, I don't know, I can't even think of the third baseman's name. He's 30 feet off the bag when Giambi's like 4 steps from the bag. He still beats him there and has time to plant his feet and slap the tag. Can you send this to Colin? Colin,
I sent it in the Skype chat.
He sent it, but I'm gonna wait because I feel like if my computer does 2 things at the same time, it's going to
explode. Might explode. Oh my God, it's amazing. I'm gonna have to share that with people. I can't believe that's real. I seriously can't believe that happened. And Jason Giambi looks genuinely disappointed afterwards. He's like, he thinks it's a bad call. He was out by so much.
It's like Giambi thinks he's actually gonna get to third.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
he genuinely thought that he was gonna steal third base. Unbelievable.
That's kind of heartbreaking in its way, isn't it? Like, it's one of those moments you can pinpoint and be like, this is when I knew my career was over. Like, you know, a lot of people don't get to be there for that kind of opportunity.
Wow. Yeah, that was funny. I needed that. That was fun. Better. I mean, that's way worse than anything the Brewers have done or not done. That is awesome. Yeah. All right, I feel better. That was good.
Okay, as for player of the month, yeah, I think it's unanimously Gene Segura. I just...
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about Gene Segura. I mean, obligatory nominations for Aoki had a pretty good month.
Yeah.
Had a good...
Well, we're doing week first, right? And then we'll talk about month?
Yeah. I mean, for the week, it's definitely Gene Segura for every week until the end of history, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, clearly.
But,
Yeah. Segura rocks. That guy, if nothing else, it's fun. He is a human highlight reel every night.
Yeah, he's really one of those people right now that, like, he can't do any wrong.
Yeah.
Even when he does something wrong, which is almost never, we barely notice it.
Now, my dad, who is always a Buzz Killington, the other day he was like, we were watching together, and he shook his head and real quietly goes, God, I hope this isn't another Pat Lestache. And I went, come on, Dad! You can't be serious, man. Why would you even utter such a thing? That is not right.
Right. To be fair, though, because we do knock on Weeks and Lucroy a lot, solid Weeks from both of them. Discount the 6 strikeouts and 17 at-bats for Ricky Weeks over his last 7 games. He had a .333 on base percentage. Lucroy, bringing it up, he had .294. Both of those players did miles better than both Braun and Ramirez over the last few games. So,
hey, Colin, can you humor me? If you have those Ryan Braun stats up, you said his on base percentage. What's his batting average?
Oh, I'm sorry. Over the last 7 games, oh, wait, I just had it up. What just happened?
Who are we talking about? Braun?
No, we're talking about RW.
Oh, the last 7 games days, he's batting .294.
Ricky Weeks is?
Yes, he is. He has a hit in his last, like, 7 games.
No.
Yeah, no, he's put together a nice little streak.
Any RBIs in that time?
No. Doubles and, like, 1,000.
No, of course not. He's hitting, like, 8th.
I feel like he's had opportunities, though.
I mean, he has 2 doubles and, like, about 20 strikeouts, but hey, I mean...
I feel like he walks up to the plate and there are runners in scoring position and I go make a sandwich. I feel like that has been happening a lot this month.
Yeah.
Runner on third, Ricky Weeks steps up, I go eat a sandwich.
Oh, Colin, by the way, for the milestone tracker for Ricky Weeks, he's going to be 18 short of 1,000 for strikeouts because we thought he was going to get it by the end of May. He's 18 shy. He has 982. So
hey, you know what would be awesome is if he can hold out. If he can hold out until our weekend of going to games, maybe we can actually witness it. If he can just hold out, striking out 18 more times, he's only got to go like 5 weeks, guys. Happen.
Yeah.
He can do it. That's like if he does 3 a week and then has 1 week where he maybe only strikes out twice the entire week. It's never gonna happen. Never mind.
Yeah, that's like. I don't even have an analogy for that.
As I was saying it, it sounded so stupid, I just stopped.
No, but I mean, certainly they're nowhere near, you know, Segura is 11 for 26 over his last 7 games.
Woo! Scorching.
Yeah, which is insane. That's literally, like, it's nearly an impossible out at that point. Gomez is hitting .364, but then right after that, number 3 and number 4 are Weeks and Lucroy, and then Braun only hit .182, and Ramirez only hit .176.
Blah, blah, blah.
Struck out 7.
Oh, 7.
Ramirez 5. So, I mean, they're getting better, but they've dug themselves such a hole.
About 80% of what you said, Colin, I completely agree.
Yeah, well, I went most of the podcast before that, so.
That's good. And like I said, no one's listening anymore, so we're fine.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy. I trust that everything you said was perfect, and I have no reason to question it.
Clear and concise and to the point.
Yeah. So all right, I want to talk about Collins' monthly awards. Just one award in particular. So for everyone who's listening, well, actually, it's your baby, Colin. Explain your piece.
Okay, so every month this year we're doing reviewing the Brews monthly awards. We do a player, a starter, a reliever, rookie when applicable, and most improved. Okay. So that's kind of where it goes. And this month we will probably be able to fill one of those awards.
Beautiful.
I definitely think we have a reliever.
Yeah, we have a reliever, I think. Well, we have a couple.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have like five.
Well, because the bullpen was like the one bright spot of the month. But the one that I personally just made me want to kick myself in the face with my foot was the rookie, because all of those options are bad.
When I saw rookie of the month, when Colin sent that email, I just cannot stop laughing. I was laughing uncontrollably. Because I'm sorry, I'm not going to put Donovan Hand in there, who's had like three innings. I'm just not going to do it. Burgers hasn't been great, and Willie Peralta is just, we're not getting back into that.
Yeah, and aren't those the only three options?
Yeah, unfortunately Segura isn't a rookie anymore. But
well,
you know,
is Logan Schaefer technically a rookie?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know if he is.
I will check. I don't believe he is. But
we basically
built the rookie of the year, the rookie of the month award around the idea that Burgos was going to blow up.
Yeah, I think that was probably the initial concept, or that Willie Peralta would not be bad, so that we could at least just be like, once again, Willie Peralta.
Right.
There's that. But no, reliever, though, at least in my opinion for the month, I voted for him, was Burke Badenhop, who in the month of May...
Oh, yeah.
His ERA in the month of May is 1.15.
Yeah, he did.
14 strikeouts, only 4 walks. You know, he's really, I think, kind of in this bullpen and doesn't really get noticed a lot because, for whatever reason, Renick, he likes to see Gorgolani and, you know, other guys a lot more. He was with Kinsler a lot more, but he kind of forgets that Figaro and Badenhop exist a little bit.
I think I actually put Gorzolani, and I knew he was on the DL for a part of the month, too. I think I did that. I don't feel bad about it. I probably should.
I'm kind of stuck on reliever of the month. I will say... I don't know. Maybe just to piss Lou off, I'll say Francisco Rodriguez.
You son of a
beep. You know, and I was going to bring up the fact that we need to talk about him.
But let's be fair. Let's be fair.
Yes, he's been great. I've been watching. He's been great. God,
a .063 average and a save.
One hit, one walk. Only base runners he's allowed.
That happened.
I know, I saw it.
Lou, take deep breaths. It's going to be all right. Hopefully. I don't know. Probably not, but...
But I would say for this week, pitcher of the week, I mean, relievers, I think, win the day. Gonzalez has a vote. I really want to give a note to Estrada just for cutting out that last game. That was impressive to me. John Axford over his last seven games, 3 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, no earned runs. Only a .273 average against him.
He got in a little trouble tonight though.
Yeah.
He got out of it, but he did that bases loaded one out dance and gave up no runs.
And, well, you know, if you can get out of that jam, I don't have an issue with you loading the bases. Well, I do. I have an extreme issue with it.
Yes. I was hoping you would take that back immediately.
My heart can't handle it, but, you know, if you're going to get out of it, then, and, you know, if situations like that I think Axford needs... You know, to be able to get out of those jams like that. But you know, he's done well over the last half of the month. Or he's had definitely more bright spots this month than he had in April. I'll put it that way.
You know, in really the thing that we have to ask ourselves is with Axford just not there yet, Henderson out, is Rodriguez the closer?
Did you guys even talk about Henderson last week? I don't remember. Did you and Eric talk about Henderson?
I don't think he was hurt at that point.
Oh, we didn't talk about that at all. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Just real quick. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, Jim Henderson gets drilled in the leg, strained his hamstring, trying to really... I don't know if it's like getting out of the way or just he just got drilled there. But
what can you do at that point?
Yeah, that... It looked horrible. It was not something you ever want to see happen to anyone, ever.
But Henderson has been so impressive. An ERA below one. Nine saves, and now he's out because of...
And if you think that he's going to come back and throw that fastball with that much confidence, you are sorely mistaken. After a pitcher takes a beating, it usually takes a little while. So it might be a few outings of him getting roughed up a little bit. And we need to be prepared and not boo him. Hint, hint, wink, wink, everyone listening.
I just look at Francisco Reese's face, I just hear the music from the Twilight Zone.
I'll
say the same thing about Frankie that I said about Kyle Loesch and
Frankie. Are you guys on a first name basis, Colin? You and K-Rod, you guys pals?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tom Axford did tweet both of us today.
Yes, he did. So. Well, but we knew he was our friend. I didn't know that you and Frankie were. I'm sorry.
Largely run in different circles, but I'm willing to say the same thing about him that I've said about everyone else. You know, I'm going to hang my attitude for a little while and see what happens. And so far, you know what? If he's going to have a 143 average against him, and he's going to get himself out, you know, work himself through games the way he is, how can I be mad?
Yeah, but is Francisco Rodriguez just the next Yunesky Betancourt?
Well, but even if he is only now until Axford gets his stuff back or until Henderson comes back, what's the difference? It's not like we're paying him $13 million for this year.
Well, that's a good point, but even if Henderson or Axford goes back to the closing role and Rodriguez is plunged into the setup role or another mid-relief role and does horrible... then we're going to have the same problems we had last year with him. And that's something that they wanted to get rid of when they really go to the bullpen. So, I mean, if he does great, then yeah, I'm not going to complain about it. And I'm not going to criticize him now and say that, oh, he's going to be awful, because he might not be. But I just don't know. And if he is the second coming of Yunesky Betancourt, which would be great for a little bit of time.
Can we stop using Yunesky Betancourt as a gauge for awesome? It's just, you guys are killing me. We're using K-Rod and Yunesky Betancourt in the same sentence even? This is, oh man.
We could bring in Eric Gagne into the conversation.
You guys are, you guys are animals.
Alright, we gotta end this now. We just brought Gagne in.
Anyone who was listening up to this point is now gone.
And they're never coming back.
No, we really blew it with this one, guys. We really ruined the podcast this week.
Sorry, internet.
Sorry. Sorry. If anyone is listening at this point, you are a saint. You should get a medal. Because this has been just awful. I blame myself. It has nothing to do with you guys. I was just not on my game.
I've been out for a month. I should have had a rehab assignment.
Yeah, we had to put you in the DL.
Yeah. I should probably go on the DL. I was rusty and nervous, and I said Willie Peralta 34 times in a row. It was a bad show.
All right, are we running? Are we closing out then?
I'm trying to die, but yes.
I was gonna say Ben is dying, so we should probably
take us out with your sweet baritone voice, Benjamin.
Indeed. You know, you're 10 years younger than me, and your voice is already like 8 octaves lower than mine. It's not good. It's not good for my morale.
I'm sorry. I talk like this, but it'll hurt my throat.
No,
after a while.
Yeah, don't do. No, don't. You no. don't have to do that for me. No. Don't pity me, Ben, with your beautiful voice.
It's not like Frank Sinatra beautiful, so.
Says you.
Okay then. all right, guys. Yeah, for those of you that are listening at this point, thank you for really sticking it out. Hopefully, the Brewers by this time next week will have won some games. And we'll talk to you guys next week. So see you later.
We might do a better job next week than the Brewers have done.
I promise. I promise we'll do a better job next week. You have my word, Scouts Honor. I was never in Scouts.